Welcome to Restaurant Influencers presented by Entrepreneur. I am your host, Sean Walchef. This is a Cali BBQ Media production. In life, in the restaurant business, and in the new creator economy, we learn through lessons and stories. Today, we have the CEO of Atmosphere TV, Blake Sabatinelli. I can't tell you how excited I am to talk to a media professional, a storytelling professional, a technology professional. We're going to get into it today. Blake, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me on. And I got to say, I went back and listened to a few episodes, and your delivery and consistency and delivery of your intro was remarkable. So kudos to you.
I appreciate it. I made a lot of bad intros to get to one that that hopefully I can say well without stuttering or mumbling over my speech. So I appreciate that.
For sure. For sure.
Let's go with our favorite random question, which is, where in the world is your favorite stadium, stage, or venue?
Man, that's a really good question. And look, I'm a suffering Dallas Cowboys fan at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're
outside of Fort Worth. And, you know, as a teenager, Cowboys were really, really good. And I thought that was going to continue forever. But it's been a good 30 years of heartbreak since then. And Jerry's World is pretty spectacular. There's nothing like the energy of a whole bunch of passionate Cowboys fans, especially early in the season when we still believe. We all knew this was going to end badly this year. So, I love Jerry's Palace. It's a wonderful place. Look, I'll always cheer for my Cowboys, but begrudgingly now.
So Jerry's Palace, I love it. We're going to go there. I'm going to talk to Entrepreneur. I'm going to talk to Toast, who's a title sponsor of our show. And we're going to talk to Atmosphere. And somehow, some way, we're going to figure out how to put on the best TEDx-style hospitality conference. You know, not something where people are talking on a panel and bullshitting and a bunch of sales and ads. What we're going to talk about is real storytelling. And I want you to get up on the mic and pitch us. Let us know, what is Atmosphere? What's the big vision? What are you guys building?
It's a pretty simple premise, actually. We make TV for businesses. And while that sounds like the most boring of all concepts, it's really the exact opposite. We make TV for businesses because we've all walked into a place, your favorite restaurant, your favorite bar, gyms, all the other locations that we operate in. And you look over the TV, you see something striking. There he is, Stephen A. Smith, 35 feet away from you. He's on mute. He's angry as all get out about something, as always. And you have no idea what the hell he's saying because he's on mute. It's home TV produced for, or now living in a business. And you can, there's 1,000 other examples. Judge Judy or whatever the new name of her show on Amazon is. Same thing. SportsCenter on mute. CNN, Fox News, MSNBC on mute. In-home experience that's great and out-of-home experience that's terrible. And we make a better experience for that. We all, for all intents and purposes, we're a FAST platform. So you watch plenty of these in your house, Pluto TV, Tubi, and others. And we have our own version of it in a fully integrated ecosystem with 40 to 45 channels, depending on how many pop-ups we have at any time, all there to entertain your customers with your eyes instead of your ears. Because the reality is you go to a bar, you go to a restaurant, it's probably pretty loud in there. And hearing is, not exactly an easy thing to do in a lot of cases, but you can see the visual candy that we're putting on television. And we give this all away to our restaurant and bar friends. And we do that all in exchange for some advertising time that we deliver across the network.
You bring me back to the beginning of Atmosphere. Bring me back to the Chive days.
Yeah. Look, this is, we always say this is a new startup, but it really isn't. So Chive TV.
Every company is a day one company.
Yeah, it's been an interesting journey for our founders, John and Leo Rezik. So our founders founded the Chive, the men's humor website back in the mid-2000s, did incredibly well with that business, but they were looking for the next frontier. And they sat down at a bar, and I have the picture on my phone.
Can we get that picture? Can we add it in the article?
I'll send it to you.
Okay, beautiful.
And they saw some pretty striking things on the three TVs sitting in front of them. Judge Judy on mute, ESPN on mute, CNN on mute. And they said, God, there's got to be some better way to do this. And pretty quickly, they put together an MVP for what would become Chive TV. That's radically changed at this point in time from one channel. And when I met these guys in 2018, about 2,000 locations to now 40 plus channels and 65,000 locations, things have gotten a little bit different, but the spirit of our company never changed. We're here to have fun. We're here to entertain the world. We're here to make the world just 10% happier. The same principles that we had at that business, we have at this business, because let's face it, there's plenty of gloom and doom out there. And there's also too much staring at phones. So we do a good job of getting people to look up, to smile, enjoy a communal experience, and celebrate the world around them instead of being angry and curmudgeon-y and yelling about the fact that our CNN and our Fox News is on. We're just here to make things better, happier, and easy, just like we did in the early days of the Chive.
What work were you doing when you met these guys?
So I was the CEO of a company called Newsy. So we were a national news network focused primarily in the connected TV ecosystem. And part of my remit at that company was also...
What does connected TV mean for our audience?
So like your Roku device, your Amazon device, anything that's a digitally enabled television device is a part of the connected TV ecosystem. And I know some advertising or ad tech guys, well, technically that's not always correct, but to give a generalization, that's it. Perfect. So I was running this company, which was owned by a larger legacy broadcasting company called EW Scripps. And they would have me go with a corporate development analyst, and we go look at different businesses to potentially invest in. And it just so happened that Atmosphere was raising their A round. And we went and looked at a business, and ironically enough, I said no. We passed on an opportunity.
Why did you say no?
Well, you have to think of this through the broadcast lens. This is a 140-year-old media company that had been previously focused on newspapers and radio and now broadcast television. Just didn't really fit into the portfolio. I saw a vision of an opportunity where you could come in and own the airwaves in a space no one was thinking of. But I was maybe just a bad salesperson, and we weren't able to get that across in our investment committee, and we ended up saying no. But I stayed in touch with the founders and the founding team, and a couple of years later, I decided to come join the company. So it was, a nice fortuitous circle there for me.
What compelled you to make the jump?
There's very few opportunities in which you can define an entire category of television. So my last company was very, very early on in this connected TV ecosystem, where we were defining the opportunity to serve ads in real time in a digital capacity to viewers. And we were able to build audiences on television in a way that had never prior existed, because it was free to publish an app on a platform like Roku or Amazon Fire. And so there was this green space that had opened up that we dove into and built a successful business out of. That same opportunity existed with Atmosphere. No one was thinking about entertaining people specifically in bars and restaurants at the time, which was our singular focus at the time. And the opportunity to go into a sector that is completely new, has no competition, has no definition about what it is. It's just too exciting to pass up. And look, I've been around the startup world now for quite some time. And there's just no feeling like building something from scratch. So relocated my family down from Cincinnati to Austin. The weather is better here, so there is that part of it. And the rest, is 3 years of history at this point.
Talk to me about the audio optional.
The reality is, TV doesn't have to be, especially when you're out of home, when you're sitting at a bar or restaurant where you're sitting, where your couch looks a little bit different. You're at a bar stool or you're in a booth. Reality is the audio is generally off in 99% of cases anyway, in these locations. They have music playing because that's a better experience for the consumer. And we wanted to make sure that there was something that was incredible being made for the eyes only. And look, audio is great. And it works in a lot of instances, but it doesn't work for us. So we decided to lean in and do something a little bit different. And if you're coming from the traditional TV ecosystem, it doesn't make any sense. And I'll be the first to admit, when I came here and our co-founder Leo Rezek said, hey, let's do a news channel and have no audio, I was a little, I was a little flummoxed. It took me a minute to wrap my mind around that, because I spent the rest of my career figuring out ways to use audio as a crutch when you didn't have sufficient video. But it really works. I mean, the places that we live, all these different businesses, screens that we operate on, they don't have to have sound. So why make it too much more difficult? Create a great, simple product surrounded by incredible infrastructure for our operating partners to use. And you have something that has a little bit of fire to it. So it's just not something we've really thought about. And we've turned down so many people who want to work with us because they're like, I just can't bend my mind around why you would have to have no audio. And the reality is we want people to watch and not hear. And that's the opportunity to get people to put this thing down, put it face down, and everyone, you know, tap each other on the shoulder. Hey, did you see that? That was hilarious. Or, oh my God, what an amazing piece of video. You just don't have to have audio for that.
What's interesting to me when I first learned about Atmosphere was, you know, we built a breakfast business. We took over a breakfast business, added a full liquor license, wanted to create this sports bar environment, family friendly sports bar environment. And I'm obsessed with sports. You name the sport, didn't matter. 365 days out of the year, we were going to figure out what channel we needed to pay, all these expensive costs. But even for someone like me running my business and seeing the families that would come in, not everyone loves sports. And even the people that didn't love sports, you know, they are looking for other options. Their eyes are scanning the displays across however many TVs you have in the place. And this opportunity for this B2B content, this best of internet content. I remember the first time that I saw Chive TV, I was actually out with my wife down in Gaslamp, and I couldn't keep my eyes off the TV because it was so entertaining. For you, how do you get messaging across to the restaurant industry, the bar industry, obviously coming on shows like this, but what's the strategy behind the marketing of this B2B that we all as restaurant owners, bar owners, we don't have to go by the same playbook of cable television, DirecTV, all the other options. We can actually have Atmosphere and have some entertaining component, plus also use the display side.
That's right. So if you think about this from the most simple perspective, it's a show me kind of value proposition. So we have an inside sales team that explains the value prop to folks all across the country.
Yep.
But where people really start to get it is twofold. They see it in the wild and they watch their wife or kids or themselves get glued into the content that we're producing. And then they call you and they say, I got to have this thing. This is fantastic. And then you start explaining the other benefits of the platform. We give everything away. We give our signage tools, our ad creators. We give everything that you could possibly give to an operator to make sure that they're enhancing their business and doing ultimately probably what you care about most, which is increasing dwell time and increasing ticket sales.
Yep.
Because that's how you make more money. So if you show them, it's great. If you give them amazing tools, it's even better. So everyone who goes in the white, you explain free TV that's the best of the internet, people say, I'll give it a try. They see free TV that's the best of the internet, they're all in.
Yes.
Because it's just that good. And that's not me saying that as a CEO and an operator of a business. That's me saying that in a new world where television content looks different and people want to be entertained in different ways. And no one else is leaning in the way that we are.
When you look at the content channels, you mentioned 40 to 45 at any given time. Can you go a little bit deeper into the offerings, the things that you show and what you choose to show and how you find this channel might perform better than others?
Of course. So Chive TV's always been our flagship channel. And it's, to your point, the best of the internet, people doing amazing things. And it's well watched across our platform. But it's not always the right channel for every environment. So we have, Pause TV for those that want to see more animal-focused content. We have Happy TV for a really upbeat and positive experience, which does incredibly well in locations like doctor's offices, where people need something to calm that white coat fear. We have live news and live sports channels that are highlighting the best of what's happening across the world from a global perspective on news and from the best highlights, scores, betting lines, and everything else on sports. We have niche channels like, you know, small pro sports. Like at one point in time, we had spikeball. We've tried volleyball, billiards. We've done just about everything you can think of. And we really do want to get back to something that resembles the Ocho. Something that is probably the ESPN that you remember from when you were a kid.
I do remember.
You know, strongman competitions and all the other crazy stuff that used to be on ESPN. Where, like, I didn't know that was what people actually did as a hobby, but lo and behold, there they are carrying 200-pound boulders. Frankly, we have a channel for every environment, and we do that because everyone has their own taste. Everyone has their own atmosphere within their businesses, and that is a pun that's intended. But we just want to make sure that people are given the tools that they think can help drive more sales. And that might be comedy, and that might be sports, and it might be news, and it might be adventure and action sports like Red Bull. But we give it all at their disposal so they can make that choice.
We live in a world where there's so many options for content. How do you curate the content for these channels?
So we're so fortunate to have a team here that gets to watch internet videos.
It's a great job.
It is a great job. So we work with about 3,000 to 5,000 different creators.
Thumb up and thumb down these videos.
Yeah, like, hey, this is interesting. So we work with about 3,000 to 5,000 different creators on a monthly basis.
Wow.
Really just finding the best stuff that exists. We all have that tendency to say, oh my God, you got to watch this. And you find a video and you send it to your friends, or you find something you think is adorable and you send it to your, you know, your spouse. We have a whole crew of people that do that for us, that find the amazing things before they can be found, and can be curated and aggregated in such a way that we have a programming formula that it fits in there and allows us to create the same exact phenomenon that you get on a phone, but on a television screen, to inspire awe or get people to laugh or to get people to say, oh my God, that amazing thing was just floored me. We do it all with an amazing content team, content acquisition team here in house. And we push it out for the world to see, to the 131.5 million people that watch us on a monthly basis.
Let's talk about that. You posted that 3 months ago on LinkedIn, 131 million. Half of the U.S. population.
That's correct.
It's a big, big number.
It's a massive number.
It's a massive number.
We're the second largest ad-supported television platform in this country. Number one is YouTube.
It's amazing.
And we did it all in a way that no one had thought about. Going after locations and screens that people just, they were there. Who cared?
Do you think that we're still early in 2024 when you're selling against that ad product?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is a totally new category. We reach something like 4% of our total defined TAM in this country. So total addressable market, business locations we can go into. And that's at 60,000+ locations. We're just now informing our agency partners of why we matter, why they should be using our product, why we should be part of their constant marketing mix. Because the reality is we've been doing this for 4 years as a focused effort. This is 4 years of work. Mm-hmm. And now we've built the size and scale that we need. And then you have to go after the other side of the business and get people to understand the value prop from an advertising perspective. So as we continue to grow both, I mean, we're so early on that this is days of infancy, not even, you know, early days. This is, you know, you can barely focus your eyes on your parents kind of days.
Yeah. It's interesting. You guys recently launched a small business campaign. You did it nationally. You did it regionally. We were actually part of the campaign here in San Diego. And the amount of people that took a screenshot, if they were at a bar or at a restaurant, because they saw, you know, me and my team in that photo, because atmosphere was on where they were at, it was pretty resounding. You know, it was pretty compelling to see, you know, the things that someone says, but then actually in the wild. You know, for me, it's one of those things when we talk about content storytelling, people want to know what's the ROI, what's the return on investment of doing content. Well, digital receipts is the best, you know, word of mouth, but actual a digital receipt, like show me actually somebody that said it, they saw it, they're compelled to share it, you know, back to that shareability part. How do you, from an ad product standpoint, talk to the people and the brands and let them know that this is something that can move their brand forward?
So you had anecdotal data, right? Here's all the information coming. Hey, I saw you, this, that, and the other. True empirical data is what our advertising partners want.
Correct.
And that comes with the size and scale that we've achieved today. And in advertising, it's, you know, kind of similar to what Missouri, the show me state, show me the money. Because if they're putting a dollar in, they want a dollar 50 out. Yep. And I get that. So do I. As an advertiser, I want that to be true as well. And so we've had to do a ton of research with partners to show that, you know, if you're a large beverage manufacturer, that I can lift on-premise sales by X percent, but I can also lift off-premise sales by an equal or larger percentage basis. Mm-hmm. Because one of the interesting parts about our business is this, you know, still in early days, is people see us as this opportunity to sell more beer at the point of purchase, which is logical. In most instances, the television is near the bar, or it's somewhere in the restaurant where you can remind someone that, go order this delicious lager. But we're bigger than that, and it's different than that, because this is just television in a different place.
Yeah.
If you walk up to any person in an atmosphere location who's watching atmosphere at that time, you tap them on the shoulder, you say, what are you doing right now? They will say, I am watching TV. They will not say, I'm watching a television at this location to the sink. They're just watching TV. And so proving the efficacy of the advertising platform to show that it's as effective as traditional TV in an in-home environment has taken a lot of time, effort, and energy. But once you've done that, then you just show them the receipts. You're good to go. And we've been seeing a significant amount of success today as that has become more and more prevalent. And we have more and more data to go back to our partners with.
Can you talk about the platform that you've built from an advertising standpoint of how someone regionally could log in and literally start deploying ads against locations that are not just restaurants and bars, but, you know, any of the locations that you guys are in?
Yeah, it's the ability to light up a campaign in a way just like you do on Google or on Facebook, or I guess Meta now, to drive results for your business. Is something we spent a lot of time making sure we could do. But beyond that, we spent a lot of time making sure we got it right. You know, doing things and then doing things right is a big difference. But if you hearken back to the days of the boycotts against Facebook when they were still Facebook, for all of the terrible video that was showing on their platform, I don't know if you're like me and you're an investment nerd and you go listen to the earnings calls. For anyone that doesn't, what a real
restaurant tech earning calls. Yeah.
Yeah. What a real joy those can be. But Mark Zuckerberg giving commentary on the boycott of all these major national brands, he didn't care. He really didn't care if they're advertising with him or not, because the vast majority of their revenue was generated by small businesses, medium-sized businesses, delivering advertising through their self-service platform. And we see the same opportunity sitting in front of us. There's an opportunity today to build a network and to help empower small businesses to drive value to their locations. In the same way, when we did a campaign to showcase your business or other businesses, you can just do it on your own. You can do it in a very price competitive nature. And so it's one of the areas we're most excited about, is not just growing out national advertising, the national platform as a whole, but also building something of scale and opportunity for restaurant operators like yourself to go and make sure you can drive foot traffic and make money. Because as a person who likes to go out to eat, nothing makes me happier than a restaurant making money.
Absolutely. When you guys are international, you have how many 5,000 locations international?
Right about, yeah. So we're in Canada, which clearly is international. I don't think people think about it that way in most instances, but, you know, significant footprint in Canada, several thousand locations in the United Kingdom and Ireland, presence in Norway and France, presence in Australia and New Zealand. We actually do really well there. We're in places we never thought we would go, just with the product that's built for a domestic audience. and have started to dabble in content and opportunities that exist for international audiences. But humor and awe are universal things. It's not like that's only funny in English when the audio is off, if someone is, you know, doing an amazing trick and falls down. It's not amazing in another language when a French gentleman jumps from one airplane wing to another at 30,000 feet. It doesn't make it any more or less amazing. It's still incredible. And we've seen that durability of the content move over to bars and restaurants across the pond the same way that we saw it here.
Makes sense. Can you share a little bit about the content partners? Someone like Red Bull, how does that come about and how do you build upon that partnership?
Red Bull's an amazing partner to us in so many ways. They were one of the first groups to really place a bet on this little company based out of Austin, Texas. They said, sure, we see the value of what you're doing. And now they see the value in what we're doing in such a big way that, you know, huge parts of their organization are concentrated on working with us at any given time. And I actually, a great example of how these relationships bloom is even beyond Red Bull X Games. So X Games just had the X Games Aspen event here this weekend. And we've worked with them for years when they were first with ESPN and then sold here to private equity. We worked with the team at Red Bull or at ESPN and X Games to build a channel of assets that was, you know, best of playlists from X Games, and we'll make it into something incredible and entertaining, really draws the eye in. The great thing about what happens when you start that and they're starting to see performance and they're getting checks from us that are sizable is they start getting more and more excited about what could happen if you continue to lean into a platform. Mm-hmm. And so this weekend, we didn't just take the best of from X Games Aspen. We aired the entire thing live in real time, just the same as it was being aired on ABC this weekend, because they see an opportunity to reach people at places where they're going, places with purchase intent, with audiences, with eyeballs and opportunity. Our venue operators see amazing live content that drives people in. By the way, Bert Kreischer, the comedian. Bert Kreischer, the comedian.
The one without a shirt?
No shirt, Bert. He was at a bar in California that had X Games Live on our platform. Saw it, went and bought a ticket the next day, talked about it on his podcast today.
Come on.
Dead
That's
serious.
Amazing.
It was great. But it shows the power of what we're doing because, oh my God, this live event's happening. And if you're X Games, this is the best possible outcome you can have. Even better so when it's a famous comedian that they can drag on air and have him do jokes and take his shirt off and whatever else he did that day.
That's amazing. Can you talk about beyond the bar restaurant space? I know you guys just partnered with Delaware North for airports. Can you go a little bit into that partnership and other spaces that you guys are in?
Yeah, so you know, the focus of our business started with bars and restaurants. And then a funny thing called COVID happened.
yeah.
And unfortunately shut y'all down, which means we got shut down. And we needed to find a way to continue to generate revenue so we could keep our business going. And we quickly realized, especially in states like Texas, Arizona, and Florida, which, you know, they were kind of the optional states as far as observance of COVID. They were like, let's just keep plowing through. That while restaurants were closed down or limited capacity, other businesses were still open. And those businesses were places like doctor's offices, like, you know, auto oil lube shops and others. And all of them had the same core principle as our other businesses that we were focused on at the time, bars and restaurants. They had dwell time of over, you know, a few minutes. So meaning someone's in that space watching TV and they're doing it for more than 30 seconds. And they had intentionality of viewership, meaning they were actually there and they were actually watching. And so we moved our business to not just focus on bars and restaurants, but bars and restaurants and other locations that have intentionality of viewership and significant dwell time. Hence doctor's offices, which we have thousands of locations. Gyms are huge, a huge footprint for us. We're in thousands and thousands of gyms here domestically and in the UK. Other medical facilities besides doctor's offices, like hospitals, airports, to your point, we're in, I want to say, 70 large airports here in the United States, plus a number of FBOs. College campuses are a big part of our business. Pretty much anywhere where they're sitting down, there's intentionality of viewership, we go after those spaces. And that's what helps us reach so many people. Because bars and restaurants are great to us. They're our most profitable part of our business. But the other places are what allow us to make sure that we're hitting people with the right message at the right time to drive outcomes for our advertising partners. Because people go lots of places when they have a wallet in hand. And it's not necessarily always just a bar or restaurant.
What's for me, having just traveled from Boston, I was over and at Toast, they had their sales kickoff, and sitting in the airport looking at the TVs that didn't have any good content on them. Like it's such an opportunity when you think from a global perspective. You know, my family, my wife is from Bulgaria, so we travel internationally every single year, every summer. But you know, we go through the Istanbul airport, we go through Munich, we go through, you know, Paris airport, and the opportunity to have engaging content in these places it's big, and it's got to be exciting.
It's huge. The global opportunity alone, to your point, is huge. I always like to think about airports in a different way, though. Much like driving from your house to your office, there's places in between. But none of those places in between, do I come home from that trip and my neck hurt from doing this and staring at my phone while I'm waiting for a flight? It's an awful, miserable, anxiety-ridden experience in 99% of instances. So the opportunity is fantastic, and it's one that we chase. But the opportunity to actually make it better and make this an experience that does not just suck so, so bad is even greater. And that's why we're passionate about platforms like we've generated or built, and opportunities like airports, because there has to be something better at a certain point in time. I mean, something's got to give, because I don't want to watch whatever this replay they have of CNN that's on. I don't want to look at a black screen that has nothing on it or it's flickering. And I honestly don't want to like be bothered in an airport. Most people don't. You're freaking out. You're about to get on a flight. So finding a way to get the people to take a breath and enjoy the experience around them, it's just such a no-brainer and such a huge opportunity for a business like ours.
So I'd love for you to talk about, we've done content with Atmosphere at the National Restaurant Association show in Chicago. We see a lot of different brand partners that activate at that show and other shows. You guys do a much different job. Obviously, it's great when you have content, you have screens to bring people in, but talk about the people on the team. Atmosphere, you guys do a really good job of curating the talent. You have hospitality in your blood and your DNA, and you can tell whenever I've engaged with anyone on the team. How do you do that? How do you cultivate that? And you know, from a trade show activation perspective, what are the goals for this year?
Finding the people is the hard part. And finding the people is the hard part because, you know, two fundamental things have to be true with people that work at this company. They can't be an asshole. They have to be kind and good people, truly compassionate human beings. Because that's the foundation of getting people to understand who we are. We can show them the content and understand why we're here, but people like to work with people they like. And if you're, you know, if you're off to the races with a, you know, tremendous asshole that you're initially dealing with, you have quite a problem. So we look for those people first. And in most instances, Sean, a lot of the folks that we've hired over the years don't either have media experience, especially on the sales side. They don't necessarily have tech sales experience. They're just good people and they get it. They've seen us out and about. They're like, I like this. I'm really passionate about this business. Did a lot of research on you. And I want to come work here because it seems like an amazing place to work. And so how we're going to deploy those people this year, we're going to go bigger shows, fewer small shows this year. Yep. You know, we'll be likely up at the conference or two with you this year. Awesome. But really focusing on places where we think it's going to matter most today. Conferences and events around bars and restaurants, around gyms, around medical. We're really focused on those core categories And we just want to show people, like I said, this is a show me kind of business. And when you can say, hey, first and foremost, look, we can entertain your customers in a way that no one else can. And we're going to give you a digital signage platform that is, you know, has proven efficacy behind it. If you advertise in your own business, you will sell more of whatever product you have on screen. And then you kind of loop it all around with this holistic opportunity that exists. It's not just inside your restaurant. It's the network that you live within as part of this ecosystem that we've built. Because you as a business, having our product, showing it, makes you part of our company and our ecosystem.
Absolutely.
And having that capability and understanding of what it means to actually activate against that, that's where the magic happens. So if you just get people to sit, listen, or watch, and it's not an asshole on the other side, we've found a lot of success. It's worked pretty well so far for us.
So every single week, you, the listener, you, the watcher, we want you to come on LinkedIn. We do 2 calls weekly on Wednesday, Friday, 10 a.m. Pacific time. It's a chance for you to share your story, come up on stage, let us know about your restaurant, your bar, if you're a content creator, if you're in sales, marketing. It's a digital hospitality community. You can reach out to me at Sean P. Walchef, SHAWNPWALCHEF. Blake, where's the best place for people to connect with Atmosphere? We'll put the links to social. I know you guys are on Instagram, on LinkedIn. You guys put out great content. I love it. I want to see more of it. Please keep leaning into socials, all those digital playgrounds. I know from a content standpoint, you guys spend so much time curating other people. It's the shoemaker syndrome, yeah. Where you're making everybody else's shoes. It's hard to focus on your own, but anything that we can do to help, we're grateful. Where's the best place for people to learn more about Atmosphere?
Just come to atmosphere.tv. We have all the different links that you'll need to be able to get a hold of us, whether it's through advertising, through press, through platform sales. If you want to get a device in your location, we'll get you one next day out. It's totally free as a reminder. Messaging on LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, email. We're contact agnostic at this point. You can't just say, just go to one place, because inevitably people won't want to do that. But best place to start, atmosphere.tv.
And before I let you go, I'm going to ask you some smartphone storytelling questions. I need to know, are you an Android user or iPhone user?
I'm a long-standing iPhone user.
Which version?
I'm on a 13 Pro right now. I don't have to have the latest and greatest.
Okay, you don't always have to have the latest and greatest. You always update all your software?
So I joined the
See, I asked the hard questions.
the developer beta program about 6 months ago, because I wanted to make sure that I was staying as, you know, on the bleeding edge as I possibly could. Man, that got really annoying really fast. So I went back to the regular cadence. But I update my phone. Most of those updates for your listeners, those are security updates.
Yeah,
definitely need to update your phone. It's.
I made my wife update it. My wife does not like change. So she just last night, she's like, I'm not updating. I'm like, you're updating the phone.
So is she an Android or an iPhone user?
She's an iPhone user.
Yeah. So my wife was an Android user for like 10 years, and I made her switch to iPhone because I'm like, look at all the things that you can do with the kids and with me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, absolutely.
Huge mistake. Huge mistake. She's still mad at me. It's been a year and a half.
She's still mad. Why? She wants to go back.
She's like, this phone's a pile of garbage. I'm like, it's the same thing. It's the exact same thing.
That's hilarious. Do you prefer email or text?
Depends on the context. It's funny. I think text has become a far more intimate communication medium than people understand. Remember when people used to say, geez, why would you text me? Like, so cold.
Yeah.
No one has time to use words anymore. So texting is a really personal form of communication. So like if I have someone doing outreach to me and I get a text message, it's actually more invasive than a phone call. If you're getting a cold text or a cold call. So for business purposes, usually email. For personal, I'm a text person.
Email or Slack? Do you guys use Slack?
We use Slack, so all 300 of us use it, sometimes begrudgingly. Again, it depends on the context. I won't do any serious business on Slack. Proper and formal documentation, I feel like, is really critical. It's not as efficient as Slack is, but sometimes people need to understand that, like, this is coming from a place of importance. Here's the email. Here's how I want to document it, A, B, C, D, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. How many emails do you get a day?
I'll answer the question in a different way. I actually put my phone down for about a week over the Christmas break for the first time in a very long time. And I think I came back over Christmas break, by the way. It was like the week after Christmas. I think I came back to 3,100 emails.
3,100.
Yeah. And I'm pretty aggressive about marking things as spam and everything else. It took me 2.5 weeks to clean it up.
Wow.
Every time I'm on an airplane, you just start chunking through it.
How many emails do you enjoy reading on a daily basis?
It's a tough one. Pretty much zero. Who really likes reading email?
It's got to be compelling.
Saying, here, I'm going to give you $1 million. I'm like, I like those emails, but how often are you getting that email? And maybe, are you getting that email frequently?
No, I get some emails that I enjoy actually reading, some newsletters that I'm subscribed to, people that I found on Twitter that they're compelling writers and things that I care about. But it's very infrequent.
Yeah. I mean, same. I shouldn't say zero, but it's not, I'm not hankering to learn the latest news on privacy concerns and connected TV. A lot of times I have to know about that, but it's not like I'm, wow, I can't wait for that newsletter to hit.
Do you prefer photos or videos?
Photos, especially with this live motion stuff they have on iPhones. I get the gist.
Why do you hoard Audible credits?
Let's see how many I have real quick. It's so bad. Here it is.
How do you use Audible credits? Why is the digital hospitality so poor in Amazon that they make it so difficult to use an Audible credit?
I don't know. I think I have 13 credits right now. I need to be better. Every now and then when my wife yells at me about having so many Audible credits, because we share an account, I'll just go and download all the books I want to read eventually. I'm like, look, I only have one credit left. See? I've been using this, which, that kind of subscriber retention is a bad thing for my wallet. So maybe I should just cancel it. But then they won't let me listen to my books. So they know how to force me to pay them every month.
What is your least favorite app?
My least favorite app? Probably Google Maps, because here in Austin, we've not done a great job of investing in infrastructure. And if you want to groan, I live pretty far outside the city, right on the edge of the country. If you want to groan every single day, that's the fastest way to do it. I mean, it's a blessing and a curse. What a godsend it is to not have to remember what directions are. Or I was trying to explain this to my son recently. I'm like, you used to have to use a paper map, like in my lifetime. And if you got lost, you had to get the map back out again and pray to God that you could figure out where you're at on this map.
that used to be so true.
So it's a blessing in that way. It's a curse, and it just reminds you instantly how long your commute is going to be.
And what's your favorite app? What do you use the most?
I think at this point, probably, and this has been for quite some time, it's probably Reddit.
Really?
Yeah, so Reddit is just such a source of information as a whole. I mean, look, I love everything from cars to home remodeling to, reading financial subreddits. And there's no place on earth where you can get it all in one place. So it is truly the front page of the internet.
Do you search on Reddit or do you subscribe to subreddits?
No, I subscribe to subreddits.
Okay. Interesting. Very interesting.
I'm a progressive 42-year-old. I got to,
Progressive 42-year-old. I'm 42 too, so that makes us both fringe millennials. Graduate class of 2000, so the internet was supposed to end us as we knew it, but we made it.
By the way, so this is a question for you. Are you considered a millennial or not? Depends on the data source, best I can tell. But do you think you're a millennial?
I consider myself a fringe or an elder millennial.
An elder millennial. Thank you for solving this or settling this argument that I was having with my wife again last night for the 58th time.
What did she say?
She thinks I'm Gen X. She's a year older than I am.
Okay.
She's been gaslighting my children for 3 years now, telling them that she's a year younger than I am. It's actually pretty funny. But she's like, dude, you're Gen X. You're not a millennial. I'm like, you are wrong. And as an expert on demography, Sean, I feel like you've solved this problem for me.
There you go. You're welcome. That's what we're here to do. It's Blake Sabatinelli. We will put links to Atmosphere in the show notes. He is tweeting. He is also on LinkedIn. You can give him a follow. I can't wait to come and see the new Atmosphere HQ next time that we're in Austin. And I can't wait to do some stuff together in Chicago and wherever else Atmosphere is. If you guys are interested in Atmosphere, please contact Atmosphere. Let them know. I also wanted to give a shout out to Mike Kelly. Mike Kelly is part of the sales team at Atmosphere. And I tell salespeople all the time, doesn't matter what company you're with, everyone's in marketing, everyone's in branding, and Mike does a phenomenal job of keeping LinkedIn up to date with what Atmosphere is doing. So Mike, shout out to you. Keep up the good work, and hopefully that rubs off on some other of the salespeople over at Atmosphere.
I gotta be honest with you, I'm just hoping his second career as a model doesn't take off. So if I lost him, I'd be really upset. Actually, he's a phenomenal human being and salesperson, and we're really, really lucky to have him.
We appreciate it. And as always, thank you guys. Stay curious, get involved. Don't be afraid to ask for help, and we will catch you guys next week. Thank you.